Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They called me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the Stuff They Don't Want You to Know listener mail segment on the road. And we have so many great pieces of correspondence. I know we all say this pretty often, and it's always true, but this week, there's an extraordinary abundance, an embarrassment of riches. We're going to hear from quite a few of our fellow conspiracy realists. We're going to touch on a lot of weird stuff. We don't even need to give you the rundown because this is eclectic and somewhat esoteric. Without further ado, let's not stand on ceremony. Let's get right to it. How many bugs did you eat today, folks?
Unclear. I have accidentally inhaled a bug before on sitting on my porch on a lovely October's Eve, and that's not fun. But you know, you always hear statistics, right? It's like every human being naturally consumes X thousands of bugs a year or whatever, or maybe I made that statistic up. Surely it exists. Surely someone has measured the likelihood of organic bug consumption. I don't mean organic like the fancy kind. I just mean, you know, under normal circumstances. But we got an email from Brad. I don't know that Brad's concerned, but Brad acknowledged that Twitter is concerned and Reddit is concerned. Some people, perhaps you might label them as alarmists, are concerned that they're going to be feeding us bugs, you guys. What we think is the sweet, sweet meats of the chicken or the beef cow or whatever is actually creepy, crawly bugs, because try as they might, Big Bug has not taken off in the United States in terms of like a functional protein substitute. We know that in Latin America, there are, you know, crickets are a very common topping, you know, on tacos and ants and stuff. I went to a restaurant in New York a year or so ago called, I think, the Black Ant, and they have some, you know, insect proteins on their menu. What we do know is that it is a pretty viable source of protein if you can get past the not sticker shock, I guess the ick factor of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
the United Nations wants people to eat bugs. They've been saying that for well into a decade now.
Understandably so, because it does create a much better for the planet substitute, you know, than meat. We know that, you know, farming, cattle farming and all of the emissions that it causes from cow farts and all of that stuff. And also there's the massive amounts of resources that it takes to, you know, to grow or to raise what could be considered a luxury item. If you really wanted to break it down to brass tacks, you know, we could probably survive on protein pills like they said we would in the future. But we love the taste of cows. We love the taste of chicken. So, you know, we could argue that there might be a future where our planet is in such poor shape that those things are no longer viable for the planet. But knowing us, at least here in America, we'll push it off till the last possible second. And we, you know, we leave our legacy industries, great American companies, you know, great salt of the earth farmers. Although we know that that's largely a myth too, because the ones who are truly making money off of this kind of thing are the Tyson Foods of the world, you know, or like the much larger corporate interests that maybe at one point started off as a little family mom and pop type chickenry, but not no longer. And I'm just going to get right into the email from Brad. Hey guys, I was on X, he was in quotes today, which I love, today, and noticed a bunch of activity around Tyson Foods. Recently, they announced a partnership with the company Protix to develop insect-based protein for pet and agricultural feed. There has since been a ton of folks online advocating that they, quote, will never eat bugs and we should boycott Tyson products, even though the protein is not currently planned for human consumption. I know there are wider conspiracies around the deep state globalists and the World Economic Forum forcing everyone to eat bugs. So thought this might be a topic you'd want to dive into further. Some people have tied in COVID, Big Pharma, Bill Gates, and World War III as well. World War III being the one that, you know, hasn't happened or arguably is happening right now. And we just don't call it that yet because that's usually how these things go, especially when world wars are concerned. I've attached an article from Tyson, like a press release situation, and some screenshots of tweets that I've seen on the topic. Thanks, Brad. And I'll just read a few things. Bama Jeans on Twitter says, well, now, thanks to COVID, we know we can't trust the FDA anyway. Anyone else notice how bread doesn't mold anymore? Haven't bought Tyson chicken in years anyway because of the hormones. Makes me wonder if food has produced all the beta males and obese population. Linda Britton Fairchild on Twitter says, here we go, or retweets a post from somebody else. Here we go. Tyson Foods is now adding bugs to their foods. And then another from Curls Green Eyes. They are getting ready to feed you Z bugs. Brought to you by Tyson Foods. Last one, Paul M. Davis, you will eat the bugs. And then Klaus Schwab voice. I don't know who Klaus Schwab is, but I presumably a Nazi of some stripe. Tyson Foods builds first insect protein food factory. Watch WW3 will cause food prices to soar out of control. And the middle class will be forced to literally eat bugs because it's all we can afford.
Klaus Schwab is the chairperson of the WEF, the World Economic Forum.
My bad. Not a Nazi at all. I just decided, well, they were doing the Nazi, show us your papers, you know, the German's voice or whatever. So apologies to Mr. Schwab, not a Nazi, just a German. The implication, though, I believe in the tweet was there was some, you know, parallel, whatever. Anyway, again, these tweets to me, I don't know about you guys, seem a little alarmist, pushing this whole thing to the nth degree, because, well, Tyson in their release said they're testing it out. They bought a majority shareholder stake in this Protix company and they're using it for pet food. And also, we know agricultural feed is already made out of all kinds of crazy stuff. Sometimes they even feed waste to these animals, other animal waste, or ground up eggshells and things like that. So it's sort of a hierarchy. But the assumption immediately from some folks goes to they're feeding us bugs, sort of like they're taking our jobs. Oh, sorry, Matt, what were you saying?
Oh yeah, just that's the point. It smells of the same thing that we see every day now, where it's you read the headline and you make assumptions about what that means rather than actually gaining any context before putting your opinion into the old gauntlet there.
And, you know, Protix, the company started in 2009. This is from their website, Our Journey. We've been dedicated to bringing the food system back into balance with nature. We will not rest until we have achieved this mission. Having perfected our low footprint ingredients and the technological and commercial models, we're now expanding internationally. This allows us to bring healthy and sustainable nutrition on a much larger scale, creating a better world already today. Guys, I would posit or pose the question, how is this that different from, like, you know, impossible meat or like lab grown chicken or whatever? It's just another thing that you can, like, you know, like tofu, you can, or like seitan or other, you know, vegetarian or vegan, quote unquote, meat substitute options. They're just proteins and you just dress them up however you want, you know? So I would argue that if you gave me a burger patty made out of crickets and it tasted good and had nutritional value, like, where's the harm in that? I don't think that any company would secretly replace our Folgers crystals with crickets.
It would be illegal to do so. I got to be honest, I got a cricket in the game on this one. Out of us, I'm not to make assumptions, but I probably am the person who's eaten the most insects just in various situations. And the interesting thing here to me, and Brad, your email really stood out to me as well, is first, yes, there has been a push from various international organizations to promote the consumption of insects. Many countries, many parts of the world have been doing this since antiquity, right? And you can, to your point about the restaurant in New York, you can find some of this in the States and other quote unquote developed parts of the world. And it's tasty stuff. You know, you can fry pretty much anything is the secret, but there's something that I don't know whether they're considering this fully, to your point, Matt, about going past the headline. This is an answer, and I think it's a correct answer. It may be a little bit too late of an answer, because as you see, like, for the past 5 years more, scientists have been incredibly alarmed about plummeting insect numbers. So when the world finally, like, mainstreams that as a source of food, they might have a tough time finding all the insects that once were so abundant, which leads us to, you know, which insects are going to become the livestock, right? Because the only non-human animals doing well now are chickens, goats, cattle, right? Lamb. And they all have one thing in common. They became an easily attainable food source for humans. So that's what I'm thinking of. What are, like, the 4 to 5 types of insects that are going to be the munchables?
Well, yeah. The big one that the company is talking about is the black soldier fly. And again, into the ick factor element, because they quote, according to the CEO of Protix, Keys Arts, the black soldier fly can grow on almost every type of food waste and byproduct you can imagine. So the waste management is also part of their whole deal. Matt, you were going to jump in with something, and I could see your eyes lighten up.
Oh, yeah. The reason why it's going to work, Ben, is what you said, because it's all farming, right? It's not, they're not going out looking for insects. They've got their insects. And one of the things that this company sells are black soldier fly eggs in bulk, right? Mm-hmm. So that basically they're producing so many that they're now outputting the eggs so that other people can begin growing their own black soldier flies for other uses, right?
But what will that mean for biodiversity?
Oh, right? Because it's not going to be good.
The question. Like,
I could see this leading to a biblical plague of locusts kind of situation under the wrong circumstance. Right. I could see that if it got out of hand. But again, Tyson is investing in this, and it's kind of funny. It's sort of the way, you know, maybe older media companies started investing in podcasts, you know, or whatever, like something like we got to catch the wave of the future. We got to future proof our company. And while no one's suggesting that we make Tyson fly patties and sell those, who knows? Things could take a turn. And then they're already kind of in the game, you know, in terms of what could happen with our planet and the ability to sustain, you know, meat production and consumption.
But it's weird because, okay, so you are what you eat, right? The nutrients you take in become your cells, which then become you, right? And if that is just a truth-a-tude, guys. And one of the plans of this company is to get chickens to feed on live larvae rather than on things like soy to feed the chickens. So then the chickens are now live larvae chickens, live larvae eggs that you buy at the store, right? That's what fed them to make them. So in a weird way, some of those tweets are right, but not in the
right ways. That's
how it
always is, though. There's always a little nugget of truth in these alarmist over reactions. And that's where they usually start. These aren't stupid people, I don't think. You know, I mean, in general, I would say people mean well most of the time. Okay, maybe not. Who knows? But my point is they're latching on to something that feels like it could be the thing, even if it's not currently the thing. And again, to your point, Ben, it would be absolutely illegal for these companies to secretly feed us this stuff. So they would have to have an alternative like Impossible Burger or like, you know, whatever that they would then market as such. There is a pet food company that already markets itself as a insect protein based food for your pets called Love Bug. So they're like leaning into it. It's not like a secret or like used as filler. It's like it's the whole deal. And then people are going to buy that because of the impact on the environment. And I mentioned the hierarchy earlier. It's like, of course, we're going to start this off on our pets, right? Because only the most, you know, absolutely over the top pet parent would be like, I'm not feeding my Fluffy any larva or flies or bugs. That's gross. Fluffy eats only what I eat because she is my baby, my sweet, sweet fur baby. So it's easier to swallow on a lower, like, you know, rung of the evolutionary ladder, I guess. Same with bugs. For some reason, there's no outcry against eating bugs, even from the most, you know, environmental of folks who maybe animal rights type folks. It's a much easier sell than chickens and cows and sweet, sweet bunnies.
Sweet, sweet bunnies. But at the same time, it is in a weird place between, you know, carnivorous diets and like vegan diets or something, because it is,
right.
It's just a weird place because you can put yourself in the mind of a fly. All right. And if there's, and like, think about how many flies you need to make the same amount of protein material that you would, you know, use chickens to make, right?
Billions, right? Like, or insane amount, I'm sure. Like, at scale, right?
Yeah. One of the things a company sells is a thing called Lipid X, which is 43% lauric acid, which is, it's fats that are produced from black soldier flies. Think about how many flies you need to make just a vial of that stuff.
Additionally, too, there's this, so the question of social mores, right? Expectations and taboos. Some countries, communities, cultures will consider things, you know, totally fine to eat or totally forbidden, and there's not really a scientific reason for a lot of it, right? Some of it is due to past ages when refrigeration and sanitation technology was non-existent or nowhere near as good. But I would advance to you folks, if you're saying bugs are gross and you eat chicken, remember, chickens love eating insects. All you're doing is eating insects with a middleman, you know? So it's totally, something to think
really
about.
Really good point. Something to think about indeed. And I think probably a story we'll follow and potentially maybe talk a little bit more about sustainable food source. I can't remember. We certainly have in the past, but maybe something a little more along the lines of, like, you know, the future of it or whatever. I mean, again, I know we've probably done that, but it might be time for an update. Thank you, Brad, for the illuminating email and screenshots. And we're going to take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and come back with more messages from you.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we've returned. That company, guys, also makes Flytilizer, which is fertilizer made out of flies, which feels like something that humanity genuinely could use. I don't know. Sounds interesting to me. All right, let's jump to the phone lines. We are going to hear from no one in particular who was a constant caller.
You promised us a person, Matt. You promised us that.
Shout out no one in particular. Here we go. This is what you had to say.
Hello, this is no one in particular, and you are welcome to use this as usual. I was just listening to an episode from the archive about can cannabis cure cancer? And, well, something Noel said brought up a memory, but to initially answer that, science may be inconclusive, but I'm going to say that the science has to say yes, because placebos can cure cancer. And every medication in the world goes up basically against medicinalized face healing to see if it's better than that before it's an approved drug. Now, back to what Noel said, because it cracked me up, about how DARE came in and they brought a briefcase full of drugs. Well, when I got home the day that they did that at my school, my dad's best friend was a coke dealer. My uncle was a heroin dealer. Another uncle was a meth dealer. And when they heard about that, they instantly said, oh, I bet they were watching the kids for who recognized, so they'd know where to look later. Anyway, you guys have a great show. Bye.
Well, no one in particular. Those are two very interesting points. Just to rehash really quickly, guys, I think the point is maybe marijuana does cure cancer because it's going against a placebo like all other drugs. And it may, at least in some of these trials, it does seem to do better. Lots more research needed on that front. But the thing that was really interesting to me is something I'd never thought about with those DARE presentations back in the day. Could they have been surveilling the kids, like for real, surveilling the kids to see if there's anyone in their immediate friends or family group that has these drugs that they're just showing them for ostensibly the first time?
Yeah, it's a great point. No one in particular. Props to the folks who pitched that to you, because I imagine it's very smart, and I imagine it was not official policy, but in certain neighborhoods or municipalities, I could totally see LEOs using that procedure. And, you know, I say that as a proud winner of several DARE Award essays. but I do also, for the record, think they gave everybody an award at some point. It just makes sense. I mean, those also weren't those the kind of science project looking trifold cases, weren't those filled with replica drugs rather than actual, you know, crack cocaine or LSD, et cetera?
I certainly hope so.
It's like those fake food that you see at Chinese restaurants sometimes, you know, it's kind of like that, but like for crack and LSD.
Well, I was looking at them again just to actually see like the ones that we probably saw growing up. And I mean, there's actual paraphernalia in there for sure, right? Like a broken spoon with some cotton in it, a matchbook that's like half emptied so that a couple of roaches or whatever could fit in there. It looks like a fake poppy for sure. I don't know about the rest. Anyway, just an interesting thought. I can't remember if there were two officers or two DARE people there, like during a presentation, or if it was just one.
It's usually three. That McGruff is a cop in a costume. Don't believe it.
Well, but I mean, even if there are two, right? Like one person giving the presentation, the other one watching your eyes. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's nothing. All right. Well, let's jump to our next caller. And this one comes from Abyssal.
Hey, guys. The world sucks. So here's just my interesting thought. You guys are aware of the Abyssal Zone, right? It's the portion of the ocean that's so dark that light can't even penetrate that deep into the ocean. Well, that is 83% of the ocean. No light. Completely dark. That 83% of the ocean accounts for 60% of the planet's surface. Completely dark. Can't even get light there. I don't know if you are aware, but the square cube law, which is essentially the law that prevents animals from growing infinitely large before they collapse under their own weight. The square cube law does not apply under water. Interesting. Just wanted to give you a little bit of brightening information, I guess. Feel free to do with this what you will. I'll remain anonymous. Thanks.
Yes. I'm glad you chose this one, Matt. It is interesting. Now, people will argue with a lot of validity that while square cube does not apply to maritime creatures, simply the tremendous per inch square pounds of pressure per square inch in the abyssal plane and the lack of nutrients severely impedes growth past a certain threshold. But also, scientists don't know a ton about what's down there. That's just true.
Yeah, very much so. Just the square cube law, guys, just I'm sure y'all are aware of it, but I wasn't aware of it as much. Looking through, MIT describes it really well. If you think about an ant, the ant has teeny tiny little legs and it barely weighs anything. So those legs have no problem supporting the weight of that ant. And yet it can still lift like 50 times its weight with those tiny little legs. But if you increase the size of that ant at exact proportions, right, you don't have to make it much larger before those legs can no longer hold its weight, because the volume, as the area increases, the volume actually increases by a cube, I think, or a cubed. The area only increases by basically a square. Does that make sense? So like area times itself versus area times itself when it comes to the volume of a thing, a structure, or anything. So the concept here that Abyssal is pointing to is that since you don't have legs and you're just swimming through a medium, you can get pretty dang big. But Ben, your point is absolutely right that the pressures, surrounding pressures and lack of nutrients do also put a hamper on that. But there are giant things that we've discovered in the past that we've talked about that are swimming around the oceans. It's just whether or not they're hanging out in that abyssal zone.
Got it. Yeah, when I hear abyssal, I always think of the movie Mandy, where like there are these like evil cultists who are like, they're always talking about the abyssal plane, you know, which is like some sort of infernal region where like demonic creatures come from. And that's what those things in the ocean look like, man. Those ones with the lamps on their heads and the big creepy like headlight looking eyes.
Yeah.
And people may also be thinking of the abyss. We do know, of course, that sea monsters, for lack of a better term, are the stuff of legend. There are quite likely many undiscovered creatures out there in the deep. And we as a civilization are far more likely to find them now than at any other point. But there's a real window of time for that, isn't there? Like, I don't know. There's a big question about how much and how thoroughly humanity should explore the abyssal plane. I think it's going to become more important. I think it's worthwhile science. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's certainly an undiscovered, there's Seems like if there was going to be a place to discover new things, it would be there.
Yeah, but what are we going to do down there?
That's a good question, too.
You know?
Around and find out. As
but, ever. But really, unless we're going down to drill more offshore oil stuff or lay some pipe, you know, I don't know what humanity is going to do down there at the, like, as you said, at those tremendous pressures and just the extremes that it would take to get a human being down there to do some stuff.
Unfortunately, necessity being the mother of invention, it may be a situation wherein humanity does have to live beneath water because it's such an effective shield against radiation, right? Screw up the surface world and then have civilization incentivized to address some of those problems and build underwater habitats. But they probably still, even then, and an excellent job on the percentages there, excellent job on the statistics, man. Even then, Abyssal, there will not be a great incentive to go too deep just because it's inconvenient. What humanity would do in that situation is find the minimum amount of depth needed to exist safely, and then they would start building there.
Yeah, because Abyssal Zone, 6,600 feet down to 20,000 feet. Beneath the surface of the ocean. So that's like, yeah, that's nice and deep. I bet we could have our C-Lab somewhere, our C-Lab 2020 or whatever it was. So, hey, thanks so much for calling in with that interesting observation there. Thank you so much as well to No One in Particular. We'll be right back with more messages from you.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned with the third act of this week's listener mail segment. Our first story is a true crime story. This contains some disturbing stuff. As a result, it may not be suitable for all listeners, but we're going to do a quick cavalcade of this, and we're going to end with some nice letters from home. So here is our first piece from Beeswax, Not Yours. Beeswax says, gentlemen, in case you haven't heard, there is a fugitive who escaped custody in East Tennessee this week. His story is full of negligence and incompetence on the part of law enforcement, or possibly a full-blown conspiracy. It began many years ago when he was a prominent businessman in Johnson City and allegedly began drugging and, we'll say, sexually assaulting women, including minors. Complaints to the Johnson City Police Department went uninvestigated, leading to the termination of an officer for attempting to investigate him. leading to a federal lawsuit against the police department itself when this person became a federal prosecutor. After the Fed's investigation and lawsuit, the police chief resigned. Real charges were brought, but this suspect was already on the run. He finally got located in North Carolina. He got arrested. And this week, he escaped the custody of some Kentucky sheriff's deputies who were transporting him on behalf of the U.S. Marshals. Listen to this part. Apparently, he removed his restraints and kicked out a van window somehow without alerting the officers transporting him. And Beeswax, or not yours, Beeswax, says, "That's my best understanding of the circumstances," provides some local articles about the situation, and wants to see whether we can shed some additional light on the story, ending with, "Thanks for everything you do." As you guys know, I love when we get email in this situation, because it wrote back to Not Yours, Beeswax, and gotta say, this story is incredibly disturbing. The suspect's name is Sean Williams, and in so many episodes and so many Strange News or listener mail segments, we have talked at length about the prevalence of corruption in some small towns. And while Johnson City is not necessarily a small town, it's part of the Tri-Cities area there in Northeast Tennessee. Reading through the articles that you sent, Beeswax, it does very much look like someone in law enforcement was aiding and abetting this guy's criminal career for quite some time. I mean, have you guys gotten a chance to read some of the stuff that Beeswax sent in?
I'm looking at it.
That was
the
first time hearing of it. Yeah, looking at it now as well.
Why does it seem like somebody was helping him?
Because he seems to have been a bit of a big wheel in the local drug game. He also seems to have been somehow protected. That is my estimation, because there was retaliation against one person in particular, Michaela Evans, who attempted to bring charges against this guy for sexual assault, for transportation and sale of narcotics. As soon as she started looking into this guy, she became certain that he was under the protection of at least some faction of law enforcement. And so Michaela Evans is the person who starts interviewing women who allege that Williams has sexually assaulted them. This is, for the record, outside of the scope of her normal duties. And she repeatedly asked different detectives, different members of law enforcement to investigate Williams. She was saying, "Why are you not pulling the trigger on this? Why are you not looking into it?" And unfortunately, it seems like they buried the entire case. The problem with that too is that, corruption aside, that calls the escape story into question too. Like, if this guy had juice, how far did his juice go? You know?
Mm-hmm. Man, for doing some pretty horrible things, like, it's hard to imagine that he's protected, unless it is that drug connection, right? Somehow there's a profit motive that's moving through law enforcement. Because those are some horrific things he's being charged with.
Yeah. And he is, his full name, Sean Christopher Williams. He's 51 years old. Just to be clear, folks, people don't usually escape from prison transport vans. They're kind of locked up. They're not your average Honda Odyssey. And it's weird, because then that would mean there's interstate corruption, right? Or maybe he had enough money that he was able, as a free agent, to pay off people to look the other way while he escaped. He is known, apparently, he's a known entity and bad guy in this area. I have some relations and acquaintances in the Tri-Cities area. When I asked some folks about it, they said, yeah, everybody, like some folks who had been kind of formerly in the drug scene, they had told me people knew about this guy for quite some time. And you know how it is in the underground, like, those things that police end up investigating, especially with characters like this, they're often well known by people in the scene beforehand. Would you say that's fair? I don't want to overgeneralize.
That seems like a fair assessment to me.
So we're going to move on. We want to put the word out here because this guy has yet to be apprehended. He went to ground. He's on the run. The U.S. Marshals Service is offering $5,000 in reward. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, the TBI, is offering $2,500. Now, in a recent conversation, we had an interview segment with the creator of Ear Witness, Beth Shelburne, and in that we pointed out there can be a lot of problems with offering a reward for a suspect. But in this case, we can argue it's different because the identity of the suspect is known. They're not being paid to accuse someone of something. They're being rewarded for bringing an absolute monster to justice. The earliest charges I found date back to 2008, which probably means he was active way before then. So we want to put the word out there. Let us know if you see anything. Let us know whether you think this guy is going to get away. It's a scary story, but it's an important announcement. And we don't want to end on something too brutal. So be safe. Take care out there, folks. And thought maybe we could go to a bit of a palate cleanser with some comments on the science of getting to the moon, which we spent a lot of time talking about earlier. This is from Magnolia Mayhem. Magnolia says, I don't care if you read this on air. I forget who it was who brought this up late in the episode about the new space race, but someone brought up having a single rocket go to the moon and come back. The reason we can't use this concept is because of something called the rocket equation. It's a terrible little formula that I'm not going to write out here. Instead, think of a rocket and a payload. The rocket has 1 gallon of fuel and a 1 pound payload. Parentheses, metric, get wrecked. All right, USA. I got you, Magnolia. This fuel payload combination gets 1 mile to the sky. What happens if you need to get 2 pounds to the 1 mile line? Most people go to a linear graph. 1 gallon gets you 1 mile with 1 pound. So 2 pounds gets you 2 pounds up, right? Magnolia says, no, because God hates rockets. The extra fuel is itself a payload that the original fuel has to lift. Because of this, the fuel you need to get 2 pounds up to the same altitude as 1 pound is going to be closer to 4 gallons. And then continues to say, that's why rockets have to be as light as possible. That's why these stages, you drop used up fuel tanks. You can work around the rocket equation, shed extra weight. And there's been a lot of work around what's known as SSTOs, single stage to orbits. Magnolia says the closest we ever got to this was the space shuttle, and that still dropped solid rocket boosters and needed an extra pair of engines to get it past dropping the orange tank. And then Magnolia, you recommend a video on YouTube called Space Shuttle OMS Burn, where you see two astronauts in a roll of duct tape left hovering in the air when the shuttle fires its OMS to adjust its orbit. Those are those engines that can move things around. And then talks a little bit more about helium, also a little bit about the lunar lander, because the lunar lander, this is one of our questions in the episode, is only possible. The only way that thing works is by having the skin of the lander be as thin as tinfoil, leaving the landing part on the moon and having zero redundancy for the engine that took them back up to command. And even just hearing that is terrifying, right? That's a whole other kind of abyss.
It almost makes it seem hard to believe that it occurred successfully all those times.
Yeah, you know, each of their own. But also, guys, it makes me think, maybe it's like an RPG, like an open world role-playing game where you can advance to areas that are way past your current level. You know, maybe we're like a level 12 situation. Khrushchev jokes aside, maybe we're like a level 12 situation and space or the moon is like level 40 something, right? Maybe we need to get some groundwork done before we go to the higher level enemies like space at vacuums.
Like rockets were an accident. We weren't supposed to discover rockets quite yet because we don't have the other technology that we need.
Yeah, we watched a YouTube hack, except instead of getting a cool staff in Elden Ring, it was a hack to get rockets before we were supposed to.
Yeah. Hmm. Nazis. Thanks a lot.
Then you end up stuck on that part of Skyrim where the dragons just eat you alive, you know, mm-hmm. instantly. And you don't have a save close enough, so you just give up on the game.
No.
Sorry, I was just describing what happened with me in Skyrim. But it's a reasonable analogy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this also makes me think, I thought this was a nice compliment to the idea of deep sea and abyssal playing exploration, because humanity does need to explore, right? And no one in humanity really wants to be told, stay at home and fix stuff, like fix your house before you go on a trip. You know, humanity kind of needs to clean itself up before establishing stuff on the moon. I don't know. That's one of the big philosophical divides. What do you guys think? Should human beings put a pause on space travel and fix Earth's problems before continuing? Or
yes.
But you think also, so? Yeah.
I mean, but it's also one of those questions where you could weigh it, like, is it too late for Earth? Should we be exploring the final frontier? Because that's where we're heading, you know, at least those of us that can afford it. I'm sort of joking, but not really. I mean, I don't think we're completely hopeless here on Earth, but man, some of the stories that we hear sure starts to feel like that every now and then.
Oh gosh. Yeah. An environmental waste photographer in China just got arrested for going to Xinjiang. So people don't even, some very powerful governments don't even want us to talk about what's happening to the natural world. But I don't know either. Is it a situation where we should just treat planets and ecosystems as ultimately disposable, like move on to the moon and then move on to Mars and then just go somewhere else when we crap out on Mars?
We certainly should have a more holistic approach to not thinking like that, mm-hmm. but past a certain point, it's like, well, what other options do we have? I mean, you know, I don't know, man, people make some bad decisions who are in power and have for many, many, many years. We can't tell them to just think of the planet like it doesn't work like that.
We had someone call in recently that said the technology itself is the thing. We talked about this before on one of these, but the technology itself is the virus that wants to spread itself to the next planetary body. Like the technology is it's not humans. Humanity is meant to be here on this planet. This is where we were born. This is where we thrive, where we could thrive. But the technology itself is the thing pushing us towards the stars, which, again, isn't an absolute thing. It's just a concept. It's an idea. But, man, if it doesn't resonate with me, and, you know, I feel like we can probably do both things simultaneously. There's nothing stopping us from exploring the moon further and trying to get to Mars and establishing stuff there. We just need to decide somehow as a species that the money, the currency thing that we have that funds everything on the planet could and should be used for this kind of exploration rather than building more war toys and sending them across oceans to hang out while proxy wars continue to be fought.
I have crossed oceans of time. Shout out Bram Stoker's Dracula. Yeah, I agree with you to a large degree there, Matt. Humanity as midwife to an ultimately galaxy-spanning life form that is not organic or is techno-organic in nature. The idea of, I would also say I agree with you that these goals, space exploration and preservation of Earth as it is now or was in the past, they are not mutually exclusive. As a matter of fact, I would posit the main thing stopping them is the ideological system of economy, right? The belief that the ways in which the world has decided to distribute, allocate, and prioritize resources. I also think, to your point, Noel, Earth is going to be fine. Humanity, maybe that's a fad, but Earth will carry on, and perhaps a tiny fly that was once raised simply to be a food source in millions and millions of years, perhaps they will fill the role of current humans, and they will have the same arguments. Should we go deep into the ocean? We're flies. We're not built for that. Should we go into space? Yeah, you know, I feel like space would make more sense to flies. We're gonna end on one letter from home. We're not going to read the whole thing here, but we do want to give a shout out. We got a very, very wonderful piece of correspondence from Captain Kabam, who is making a comic book and has been leveraging some emergent technology to assist them in the creation of that comic book. So we just wanted to say, we checked it out. Great work, man. Go Captain Kabam. I don't know about you guys. I don't want to assume, but I believe we all love seeing it when our fellow conspiracy realists send in creative works. You know, we've got a kids horror podcast we're going to check out. We've got a lot of paintings, really cool stuff. So thank you, as always, so much for everybody who took the time to join the show. We're talking Magnolia Mayhem, Captain Kabam, Beeswax, not yours, Anonymous, Abyssal, No One in Particular, and Brad. If you want to join their ranks, we would love to have you on the show. Let us know what's on your mind, leads for new episodes, things that you find to be strange news, questions, clarifications, and of course, as always, hashtag no pun left behind.
That's right. You can find us at the Handle Conspiracy Stuff on all the usual social media platforms of choice, X, nay, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. On Instagram and TikTok, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
I, for one, hate it when you send in your creative pursuits. Stop that. No, I'm joking. Hey, do you want to call us? Our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a phone system, so you've got 3 minutes. Give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your message and voice on one of our listener mail episodes. If you got more to say that can fit in that 3 minutes, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper, wear it like no one else.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.